A week ago, really, after last week's Tuesday night when Sarah spoke, and just felt incredibly inspired and called to bring something to you tonight. So this past week has just been God preparing me for that. But yeah, a few people in this room will sort of know a bit about my stubbornness for speaking in front of people. It's not my favourite thing to do, but here we are, so it's a bit surprising. But thank you for being here. I was going to start with a little story, which Kate told me to share, because I told her when I arrived. And I apologise to those who have already told, especially to Holly, who's heard it about five times tonight. But basically, the story is, it's a good news story. It's to do with this necklace that I'm wearing tonight. Just over 2 years ago, for my birthday, Chris got me this necklace. And I probably told many of you here the story, but not the happy ending. So 2 years ago, I got the necklace. I wore it every day and night, actually. I just didn't take it off because I thought I'd probably lose it if I take it off. And then 2 months later, there was a wedding, and I took it off to wear a different necklace. And then I lost the necklace, and it just never, ever turned up, and I was so disappointed. So the next year, for my birthday, Chris got me the same necklace because he's very kind and gave me a second chance. And then about 2 weeks later, was it? I lost it. I lost it again. And I was really, really gutted that I lost it again. And Chris was also gutted that I'd lost it again. And that was the end of the story until last weekend, I think. And the girls were being looked after by Chris's parents. They were playing, I don't know what they were playing, but they were dressing up. They were using Nana's handbags and scarves and stuff. And when we got back to collect them, I just saw this little pile of gold on the coffee table. And I was just like, what is that? And I picked it up and I was like, oh my goodness, this is a necklace. Chris's mum said, yeah, that just fell out of my bag. That's the bag that you borrowed for that wedding a couple of years ago. And yeah, it fell out of the bag. And so I feel a bit like the woman in the Bible who finds her lost coin. I wanted to have a little party and tell everybody. So that's my good news story just to start us off. So we are continuing the series of Ephesians 6, the armour of God. And I've chosen to speak on the shoes of peace. Kate read it out in the, Amplified version last week, and it sounded really cool. I haven't actually got the Amplified. Have you got it? Yeah. Let me just read it in my version first, and then I'll read it in the Amplified. So stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I'll just read it to you in the Amplified. So it sounds cool. And you hold it. And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? So I'm going to be speaking about peace and all that peace means to me, the feeling of peace, the sense of peace within us. I'm going to be looking at two different sort of types of peace, which are eternal peace and daily peace. And then we're going to discuss a little bit about how we feel about those and also look at the good news. I just wanted to go back briefly to the last two Tuesday nights. Rebecca spoke on the helmet of salvation 2 weeks ago. And then Sarah on the belt of truth last week. And they were just really amazing times. Hands up if you were there for either one of them, or both. Yeah, they were brilliant, weren't they? And I just felt so blessed by them, and I just want to thank Rebecca and Sarah for what they shared, and was really impacted by it. Yeah. And one thing I just wanted to share, I hope Rebecca doesn't mind, but she asked me to pray something for her before she spoke. And I was just really struck by it, and I thought I wanted to share it with you. And she just asked for prayer that her heart would be pure, looking to Jesus above being articulate. And I just wanted to share that prayer request with you, because I just thought that was really amazing, and that's what I want to pray. I prayed it over Sarah last week, and I'll pray it over myself tonight, but that my heart would be pure above being articulate. I think one of the things for me, and one of the insecurities with speaking for me, is it's just really similar to what Moses felt when he was called by God to speak. I can totally, fully, 100% relate to Moses when he said, God, I can't do that. I can't speak in front of people. I'm not articulate enough. I don't have the words. I'm not experienced. I can't do that. And I totally feel that. Chris mentioned my friend Hills, who's here tonight. And thank you to Hills for coming. Hills prays with me, prays for me. She's a really good friend. And Moses is actually something that she has spoken over me. She had a word of Moses over me, and that's been confirmed in other ways as well. So I'm going to be talking about peace, and yeah, as I said, the feeling of peace. And peace is something to me which is really incredibly important. Peace is a measure for me in life, and it's one of the ways that God speaks to me the most. I very often feel a sense of peace in my heart, especially when I stop and give everything back to him and put my trust in him. And I can tell quite easily if my peace is gone or if I've lost it. One of the ways I can tell when I've lost my peace is when I get impatient. I was sharing with some of the people in my small group last week about the impatience that I experience with my children. Yeah, and it's sometimes not nice. It's really not nice, the impatience that I experience. But that's usually because my peace has just been temporarily lost. Another thing about peace for me is, and this isn't a measure for everybody, but for me, I really love stillness, and I really love quiet. I know that a lot of people will choose to put music on in a room, especially if they're on their own in the room. They'll put music on or put something on. And I don't do that. I'd always choose silence. Not always, but very often I would put silence above that. That's also something I've learned from Hills, who goes on silent retreats and things, crazy things like that. Days and days of silence. So maybe one day I'll do something like that, something radical like that. You can talk to her more about that if you want to. I've also been called a peacemaker quite a few times in my life. Growing up, I still am the middle child, and I was always a peacemaker between the two others. I would sit in the middle of the car. I'd have to stop them hitting each other, poking each other, stop them arguing. So my parents did call me the peacemaker in the back of the car. And I don't know for any of you who've heard of Strength Finders, which is Jill Garfitt's thing. But one of my results is harmonizer, which means that I really like peace. And I just want there to be harmony. I don't want there to be any conflict. I don't like disunity, arguments, or anything like that. But that just shows you a bit about my character, and that's not the reflection of peace for everybody at all. So I think I'm just going to stop there for a second and just get you just to talk in your groups for about 5 minutes. Just looking at the passage and just talking about what you think the gospel of peace means. So what is it referring to? What do you think it means before we go further? And then what do you think it means in the context of putting on armour? So if that's okay, just for quite a short discussion time, have a look at those questions. They're on the screen. What do you think the gospel of peace means? What is it referring to? And what does it mean in the context of putting on armour? Okay, go for it. Or haphazard, but he's actually preparing himself. He's preparing himself in the steadfast knowledge of complete and utter peace. He's not feeling phased, but he's fully confident in the knowledge that he carries the Prince of Peace within him. He carries the Prince of Peace within him. Going on a journey, or walking a great distance requires the appropriate footwear. And if you're going to do that, the shoes that you wear are actually pretty fundamental for your journey. And I believe that this shows how fundamental peace is for us in our lives and in our journeys and in our walk with God. Peace is fundamental. And if we can recognise that Jesus actually really does give us total peace, then that's how we can live our lives too. Which I think is really amazing. So the next thing we're going to do is, I don't know if you've come across this in church, I'm sure you have. It's something called sharing the peace. Yeah, hands up if you've done that in church before. You've shared the peace together. There's a few you haven't. Okay, well, that'd be fun then. So I thought, because this is all about peace, that we could share peace with each other tonight. Let me just explain a bit about what it is. So basically, sharing the peace together is something that's often done in smaller churches, I think. Well, I see, at least I've experienced it a lot in smaller churches. And it's a sort of opportunity to declare peace over one another, to go and meet people in the church that you maybe don't always speak to or don't particularly know, declare peace over them and sort of come together in peace. And apparently, I did a bit of research, and it was started in the mid-15th century, and it was a sort of act of solidarity for people just to... But peace was something that they longed for. It was a sort of big achievement for a city to not be at war and to be in a state of peace. Because then they could prosper again. They could farm, they could produce children, they could work, and it was something that everybody longed for. So coming together and declaring peace over one another was a sort of coming together, a community spirit kind of thing. But I think it's also really powerful, and it's something that we can do, and we can, some people hug, some people kiss, but usually you shake hands and just say, peace be with you, and you just move around the whole church. I'm so glad you came, Tim and Kirsten. Tim and Kirsten are in my small group, and they're amazing. And they actually met doing the peace in church. That is how they met. They are now married. Isn't that amazing? So you never know what can happen. And I just thought, I wondered if you might just come up to the front and just maybe reenact what happened. Thank you so much.
I had kind of engineered it because our church did it pretty much every service, and maybe spotted her a couple of weeks before. But if I'm sitting in the vicinity, I'd have an opportunity to talk to her. So. Anyway, demo.
Okay, but yeah, demo. How did it?
Well,
Whereabouts were you in the church? Were you behind? Were you in front?
That's the front.
And where were you in relation to her?
Okay.
I was
here.
Oh, I see. So you really was prepared. Okay, go for it.
Chat as well.
So you didn't move around? Or?
I know, didn't. Not that time.
Oh, see.
Normally.
What did you talk about?
I think I very quickly told I was a doctor.
I'm single.
Yeah, just chat, small talk.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Let's give her a round of applause. Okay, so we're going to do that now. We're going to get up. We're going to move around the room. I would love it if you just particularly went across to people that perhaps you don't know so well. I'd like to see if anyone can do it with everybody. Shake hands and say, peace be with you with everybody. That's the aim, really. But just remember that it is really a meaningful thing, and it's a really powerful thing, and it's a declaration over one another. You're declaring peace. So, I think let's start. Let's start. Go for it. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Okay, you've got 5 seconds.
This is really...
Yeah, I know, it's really... Okay, and just make your way back to your seat, please. Okay, I'm back to your seats. Who thinks they managed to share the peace with everybody in the room? Nobody thinks they shared it with everybody? Oh, okay. Did you have fun doing that? Well done. That was fun to watch. Okay, so I'm now going to just introduce the idea of these two kinds of peace, eternal peace and daily peace, which I mentioned earlier. And then straight after that, we're going to do some more discussion questions. This is just things that just sort of came to mind as I was preparing, thinking about peace. Eternal peace, basically, that we are saved as Christians, and we can enjoy eternity with God, knowing that he has done it all. And as Christians, our faith is such that we can have an expectation of that, an expectation of eternal peace. And daily peace is, by that, I just mean the sort of inner sense of peace that we can carry around, in the knowledge that we are fully loved by Jesus, we are fully accepted, and we're never alone. And this is the gospel of peace, which is the good news, which is Jesus. And that can day by day overflow into every situation that we find ourselves in. So just a little story to help you get your head around the eternal peace thing. I was just trying to think of a good way of describing this, and what kept coming to mind was this story of a friend of mine who is a Muslim mum at the school. And I was talking about her a while ago with Tim Metherill, who also knows her. And she's just a lady who's just really curious and really interested in anyone of any faith. Like, she's really drawn to people of faith. And he said that he was chatting with her about faith at one point, and she just said to him, "The thing with you, as Christians, is that the thing that you have that we can't have is that sense of hope, that real deep sense of hope. You live with the knowledge that Jesus has died for you, and your sins are forgiven, but we don't have that same hope in our faith." And as I was thinking about that and trying to sort of figure that out a bit, what I sort of sense was that the feeling that comes with that, I think, is actually a lack of that eternal peace, that a lack of peace. And she used the word hope, which is true as well, but I think it really relates to this peace feeling. She never quite knows if she's done enough or she's done everything correctly and right, and there's always more that she could be doing. She just doesn't have that sense that Jesus has paid for it all and he loves us unconditionally. And just moving on to the daily peace thing. In our society and in our culture, there is so much worry, so much stress, fear, anxiety, and we see it around us all the time. We come across people who actually aren't able to live their lives to the full because of it. And this is a little story that also just kept coming to mind, so I felt I should share it. But Chris and I met up with a friend last week who is, a really amazing Christian friend, and she has a really intimate relationship with God. She's very in tune with the Holy Spirit, and she hears his voice clearly. But she is in a season at the moment where everything is very full on. She's a new doctor. She's recently got married. She's working crazy shift patterns. At this point, I really want to honour those people, especially here, or that are part of our community, who do work in these kind of ways, like crazy shift patterns. I don't understand how people can do night shifts. And I think you're amazing. I think, there's a few in my small group, and I just want to honour you for what you do and thank you for what you do, because it's incredible, and I know that you can't actually always be here because of it, and you can't always be at church, and we just thank you for what you do and for who you are. We want to support you however we can. Our friend recently came to terms with the fact that she was just in this season where everything was very demanding, all-consuming, sort of taking everything out of her. She's not able to get to church much. She's tired all the time. And she really knows, and she knew that God was fine with that. God knows that. God has placed her in this season. But she still wasn't feeling that peaceful in her relationship with God. She'd lost her sense of daily peace. And she just felt that she wanted to do something, proactively do something to restore that peace between her and God, and not just feel like a sort of bystander or observer in her relationship with him. So what she decided to do was just really simply just put some, I just call them minimum contributions, into her weekly rhythm and monthly rhythms. So this included things like a worship time once a fortnight with her husband, and reading the Bible once a week, And the other thing that she did, which was just making sure that once a month she was engaging in some sort of prophetic activity, because that's what she loves to do. Anyway, since doing this, since putting these things in place, she's just felt so much more positive and so much more peaceful about her and God. And she wasn't doing it because she felt she should. She was doing it because she just wasn't completely at peace with how she was relating to God. So in this next bit, it's going to be slightly longer discussion time. And I wonder if it might be helpful to be slightly smaller groups, maybe groups of three. I really loved a smaller group time last week where people were just able to share a bit, perhaps a bit more. There's quite a few questions on there, but it's basically linked to that eternal peace feeling and that daily peace feeling. So those are the questions. So do you feel like you know the sense of eternal peace? And what might be something that could make you waver from the truth of that? Do you feel like you know the sense of daily peace, and what holds you back from keeping your daily peace? And is there anything that you could put in place in your life when you don't feel that peace? And when you think about that last one, just keep it really simple. Don't go crazy. Just keep it simple and realistic as well. Something that, you know, realistically you could do that would really help you to keep that high level of peace, particularly in your relationship with God. So, yeah, we'll have about 10 minutes to do that. So if you want to just get into maybe slightly smaller groups than before and just start looking at those questions. Okay, we're just going to move on now. Thank you. Okay. So just the last section now. So what is the good news of peace that we can put on our feet as we journey with God? And I believe that this is partly what we just talked about, partly this daily and eternal peace that we can carry with us wherever we go. But also the good news is the gospel. And it's Jesus Christ himself. It's not just what he's done for us, but it's him himself. The reality of Jesus Christ, who's alive in us, who talks to us, who guides us and encourages us. Andrew explains this really well in his book. Andrew's over there, for those who don't know. The good news that keeps getting better. If you haven't got a copy, it's on Amazon for a really good price. So get yourself one. Andrew talks in here about the good news, and I found it really helpful. I'm just going to read a bit for you. So the good news. The word gospel simply means good news. To state the obvious, the Christian gospel is good news because it is news of something good, the person of Jesus Christ. For some of us, when we think of telling others the good news, we think solely about communicating what Jesus has done for humankind, that he died on our behalf to pay for our sins so that we can have access to God and enjoy that relationship for all eternity. But the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, not just the good news of what Jesus Christ has done. Of course, the person of Jesus Christ includes all he has done. I'm not for a moment suggesting that what Jesus has done for humankind is anything less than perfectly loving and wholly marvellous. However, behind every deed and work is a person. And so behind all the deeds and works of Jesus is Jesus. For Jesus Christ is the gospel. And a bit later he says, all that Jesus has done for us points to his ultimate invitation to be in daily, moment-by-moment communion and friendship with the very person of Jesus himself. Everything he did was to make a way for us to know him, a way to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk with the living Jesus, and to know God the Father. And that is the good news that we can carry, that Jesus Christ is within us. He is the Prince of Peace, and he lives within us. And as we walk with Jesus, he unveils to us more and more of himself. So we can become increasingly aware of him and of his goodness. So the more that we become aware that we have the Prince of Peace living in us and more aware of who he is, then the more our sense of peace can grow too. And what I'd really love to do just for the final little bit is just to have a sort of reflection time. And in this time, I would just love you to kind of posture yourselves just to meet with Jesus in quite a short time, and just see if Jesus has specific things that he wants to say to you today. It could be anything. It could be related to tonight, but it may not be. Who knows what he might want to say to you? So you can do this just sitting where you are in your seats. If you want to just find a space, you're welcome to. You don't have to. I'm just going to lead us in a really simple little encounter time with Jesus. If you want to move, then move now. So I'll just pray before we begin. Jesus, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. I thank you that you do live within us, Lord. I thank you that we can receive peace. We can receive a sense of peace. Thank you that that is the good news that we carry. That is the gospel. That's the whole reason for our faith, that we have you. I just invite you, Jesus, to come now. I pray that we would all have open hearts to you in this moment. However we felt when we came in tonight, or whatever is going on in our lives, I pray that you would help us to open our hearts to you now. I just pray especially for those who perhaps aren't feeling especially peaceful right now. I pray that you would come and touch them tonight, Lord. I pray that they would leave here knowing more of your peace. So I'm just going to ask a few questions, and I'd just like you to repeat them in your heart and just listen for what Jesus might want to say to you. He might speak to you just a really, really little voice in your mind. It might be a picture that you see. You might be reminded of something. Just be open to how he wants to speak to you. Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? Jesus, how do you want to take me deeper in my walk with you? Jesus, how do you want to take me deeper in my walk with you?
Jesus, do you have any particular armor or tool that you want to give me as I live my life for you? Jesus, do you have any particular armor or tool you want to give me as I live my life for you? Jesus, help me to know you as Prince of Peace within me this week. Just want to really encourage you, if you did hear Jesus say something to you, or you felt a sense of something, or a shift in you of something, or if you did feel a particular armor or tool that he gave you, take note of it, write it down, put it on your phone, go back to it tomorrow. Don't forget what he said. I just wonder, as we just finish and come to a close, if there are people who are perhaps at the moment, in general, just not feeling peaceful, are struggling with that sense of peace, whether we could pray for you tonight. So just in a really gentle way. I think a couple of weeks ago at the Five gathering, Chris just asked if there are people struggling with that sense of peace and not feeling peaceful. And there were just quite a lot of people that put their hands up. And I'd love to do the same tonight if there are people here. So I think what I'll do is just ask you to put your hands up, and then if people, small groups and people around you, could just come and just sit with you, just be with you, just praying and declaring peace over you, if that's what you would like. So if you would like that, if you would like prayer for that, and you're struggling with peace, could you just put your hand in the air, and people will just look out. Thank you. Yeah, keep putting your hands up. If there's any more, that's fine. You still can. You can still put your hand up if that's you. Anyone else? Okay. So just spend the next few minutes praying for those people. If you're not praying for anyone at the moment, you can carry on reflecting with Jesus if you want to.